Sometimes I think it's real. Well, it's only false emotion that you feel. If your heart seems to hang around too long, remember, sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky. So let your hair down now, and baby, go on and cry.
If your heartaches seem to hang around too long, and your blues keep getting bluer with each song,
can be found behind cloud sky. Why don't you let your hair down now, baby, go on and cry. I say let your hair down,
good morning. I told you I'd be back. Anyway, I warned you. This is Carol Cox. Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. That was Ray Charles. Go ahead and cry. I have a couple of guests today on the two shows, and the first one is going to be Mr. Keith Rollman, and we're going to be talking sustainability and all kinds of good things. And he was, as you know him probably from the past, and with the Hanneman administration for about 6 years, and we're going to talk with him, and we're going to talk quite a bit of stuff here about sustainability. And he's also in some of the other hats he's wearing, or the involvement he's in, the clean energy advocacy, and something we need. And as you see today, as I rarely talk about the newspapers, think that once that news is printed, we don't need to rehash it over the air, but there is a talk about the wind farms and transparency, and the transparency part caught my eye, and we'll talk briefly about that later on. But I also want to share with you, if you're looking for something for your children to do this summer, and that's beneficial and educational and safety, out at the Hawaii Kai side, there's scuba diving summer camp for kids at the Oahu Club. And if you're interested, you can call 395-3300. This is a training, scuba training inside the pool, not in the ocean. They'll also have educational conservation talks and walks and guest speakers. So if you're interested, give them a call. And you could also look at the website, www.theoahuclub.com. So we'll give a plug again later on. But anyway, I'm glad you got back with me today, and appreciate you being here with us. Good morning, Keith, and thank you for joining me. And Sorry I missed you the last week.
Or
the
Not
week.
A problem.
We got our paths. They didn't intersect, so.
Thanks for the invite. I appreciate your hospitality.
So you've, clearly you've got a lot to share with us and talk about. And give us a little bit of background on your bio.
Sure. I most recently was with the city administration. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I got to pursue my passion for sustainability. I was a member of Mayor Hanneman's Energy and Sustainability Task Force, which was an internal group of individuals at the city who were also interested in sustainability from different departments. Mm-hmm. So we became kind of the policy advisory group for the mayor. And, got to pursue this and brief him on different technologies and different projects that were coming up. Mm-hmm. And so it was really interesting for me to stay engaged in that. Sustainability, as you know, when you live on an island that's 2,000 miles from everywhere, should be a very important topic.
Mm-hmm. So you've been here, you're not just a newcomer, I see, since 1968.
Yeah, that's when I got to Hawaii. My dad was in the military, so I decided to make this my home.
Mm-hmm. And the when you were a member of the Mayor's Energy Sustainability Task Force, what are some of the things they looked at, and what specifically did they bring out? Is there any program that's in place now that we can attribute to that effort?
Well, Carol, the thing I'm proudest most about what that group accomplished was putting a sustainability plan in writing for mm-hmm. the city. It's the first time we actually had a document that was reviewed every 6 months that itemized every sustainable project in every department, and it became a kind of a policy statement that was available to the public. Mm-hmm. We could get public commentary on it, and it allowed us to showcase a lot of the things that are being done. The city has a lot of control of things, obviously, when it comes to land use issues, solid waste issues, which we're going to talk about later. And but things like within its own organization, things it can do to become more sustainable. It spends millions of dollars on diesel fuel for its bus fleet.
Mm-hmm.
We spent the whole 6 years looking at ways and a timetable for converting that to a renewable mm-hmm. energy source. So the city has a lot of things it can do internally, as well as by setting an example and general policy for how it affects other institutions.
With the new administration, did they adopt any of those policies, or any or all, or what have they done to further these?
I think the Carlisle administration pretty much embraces the same mm-hmm. philosophy. A lot of the way we tried to organize it was to engage civil servants and non-appointees mm-hmm. in the process, so that it would have a longevity that would go beyond any one administration. It would become kind of a cultural thing for the city and mm-hmm. Regular civil servants. And so some of the most active people on that Energy and Sustainability Task Force were engineers who were civil servants and are still there and mm-hmm. still believe very strongly in the things that we were advocating.
What were some of the obstacles that you folk identified in getting some of these things implemented? Do they still exist?
Oh, of course. Internally, there's always the obstacle of bureaucratic inertia. It's difficult to get things permitted.
Bureaucratic inertia?
Well, there's a learning curve to
right.
any new technology. I agree, yeah. So when the first guy walks through the door and says, I want to put a vertical wind turbine on my building, that sets off mass confusion because
right.
they don't know what that is, and they don't know whether they like it or not. But the short version of that is that you have to educate people about the benefits of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we did was to encourage the individuals in the permitting department to get LEED certification
mm-hmm.
so that they understood the rationale and the technologies involved, so that it wasn't a process of rejecting ideas because they were just not familiar.
So you would send the people off and educate them about the variety of various.
Yeah, that was always the
alternative. So therefore, when they had a chance to review it, they weren't just operating from the seat of their pants. They had some familiarity with it.
Right, and you know, we did internal newsletters, and we tried to push that information out on a constant basis. Mayor Hannum was very good about it because he was personally curious and interested about it. Like any mayor or governor, they can't possibly keep up with everything that's going on. So he would kind of rely on this group to encapsulate all that information and make recommendations and say, well, what do you think about electric cars? What do you think about seawater air conditioning? Is it something that we want to put a little political pressure on to make sure it makes it?
Did the you're talking cities' ideas and intent. So when you would propose these or try to implement them, did you find any objections or obstruction on the part of state agencies or other agencies? How about PUC, for example? Or any obstruction, any assistance? How would you describe it?
Well, we can spend several weeks on this one. In general, we found working with individuals at the intergovernmental levels very positive because basically most people understand the need for creating sustainable policy. The state did a lot of wonderful things policy-wise about energy, renewable energy, getting away from oil. They had the right goals. They had a lot of highly incentivized people in the different departments that we worked with one-on-one. But every once in a while, subjects would rise to a political level where decisions were made not on really what the best answer is, but what the politically correct answer was at that time.
Right.
And that's where you run into trouble.
Speaking of the buses and the consumption of diesel, what did this the Hannum administration put in place or try to incorporate to change our dependency there? Did we buy better buses, hybridized? What happened with
that? Yeah, there was a big push to increase the hybrid fleet, and then there were some internal calculations on whether the hybrids were actually better than some of the new clean diesel vehicles with the composite bodies that were very lightweight, and they were able to achieve efficiencies in other ways. So technology changes constantly, so it's a constant process of evaluating what's new and what's maybe a better solution to what you thought was the best solution a year ago. And so the hybrid buses are giving way to some of the new efficient clean diesel vehicles that are achieving that efficiency in other ways. Now, you can always change the fuel too. A diesel engine runs fine on biodiesel and biodiesel blends. So in a lot of cases, if you have a system running on diesel, you can have a program to incorporate renewable resources without changing your equipment. The same is true of things that run on electricity. Hawaii, unfortunately, gets most of its electrical power from burning imported oil, which is a really bad idea. However, the electrical equipment doesn't know where the electricity is coming from. So if you can change to renewable sources and start feeding the grid in a more sustainable way and get away from the imported oil as your primary source, the equipment continues to run. So there are certain things that can outlive short-term decisions.
What was the stance on deep ocean cooling, the administration? Did they do anything to enhance it, or did they embrace it?
Well, that's another one. At the top level, it was embraced. The group that I was part of made our recommendation to the mayor and the managing director that this is a good thing. This is definitely part of a solution that fits into a long-term, comprehensive, sustainable plan. Short-term, it's a problem because you're talking about digging up downtown.
Right.
So then all of a sudden, you know, okay, we won't call this one bureaucratic inertia. We'll call it caution.
Right.
But whatever it was, there was an abundance of it. And so when it comes to, you know, I want a 6-foot pipe down Bishop Street, you got issues. You got permitting issues. You got a lot of resistance. So That's currently the situation where you have a great idea. Technically, it's feasible. It makes perfect sense because electricity is used to create air conditioning, and it's a, you know, if you look at the operating costs of any building downtown, you're going to find out that air conditioning is the big the big nut.
Right.
And so if you can use cold water from the ocean and just simply recycle it and exchange it and use it. But in order to do that, you have to build this infrastructure to distribute it.
Right.
And you're talking about a 6-inch pipe down Bishop Street. So
yeah,
there you go.
The reason I raise that question of is so often they say, well, the environmentalists are opposing this, and that's at the shoreline. The reality is that there are so many other factions there that don't want disturbance of business flow within the town, and that never comes out. So thanks for giving a little bit of insight as to some of the obstacles that stumbling blocks, I guess.
Well, if you think environmental issues are complicated, sustainability issues are three times as complicated because you're dealing with economic factors, societal factors, in addition to environmental factors.
Right.
It's a three-legged stool, and everybody's got a different opinion about where the priorities should be.
Mm-hmm. And then it becomes trouble and problematic.
But unless you get all three in balance, you don't have something that's sustainable because eventually it will get dragged down by
one of those legs.
Of the three. One of the three will break, and the stool will follow.
Wow. Well, that's... So a mayor or an elected official can have an idea, but he'd better learn to walk that walk, talk the talk, and then some.
If I learned anything in 6 years in government, it's you can have a good idea, but getting it done is a whole different problem.
And sometimes it's what you don't see is really what the unspoken. I do remember reading a letter where they were proposing the cold water cooling, and the letter said, you realize how much money you would cost us if you just blocked off Nimitz, this little portion of Nimitz. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you're going to save so much. But
well, you know, it's all a matter of priorities because, you know, our civilization is constantly under construction. I mean, it's never going to be finished. There's always something being built. There's always a road being built. Mm-hmm. There's a big rapid transit system being built. That's disruptive. But the pain of the construction phase was deemed acceptable for the outcome. So it's just a matter of reaching that threshold where you go, okay, it's going to be a real hassle to do this, but in the long run, we're going to save a lot of money, and it's going to be a big benefit.
Yeah, you know, at one time, like many, as you described, many changes in society is changing. Can we, the public, rest their hat on these terms? For today, it's sustainability. Before, it was hot spots, and then at one time, it was biodiversity. Does that present a problem when we go through these phases, or is it new language, or is it really? I don't know how to pose the question. Is it, can we trust now sustainability? Is it really meant to be what it's stated?
Well, that's really an interesting question, Carol, because I served on the state legislature's 2050 Sustainability Task Force, and we spent the first 6 months defining what sustainability was so that everybody who had a stake in it would have a input into the definition of what we were trying to accomplish. And what we quickly discovered is sustainability is pretty much everything.
Right.
It touches on absolutely everything. So it may be called something else a year from now, but it's still pretty much what kind of a world are you trying to build for the future? Because that's the bottom line.
Right. Now, there's being all things discussed, and when we look at the rail, was it, how does it fit into the sustainable? Was it considered, or was it the separate, they ran parallel to one another, or was there great consideration given to we're not going to engage in the discussion of rail, but just as a curiosity.
I'll reveal myself, though. I've always been a rail advocate since the 90s, since Frank Fossey days. But lately, the sustainability argument is one that can be used to support rail. And for me, some of the more obscure issues are more important, like land use. Mm-hmm. If you create a system that changes the whole nature of development so that you're redeveloping the urban corridor, mm-hmm. and you take the pressure off of going after ag land and open space to replicate this kind of California low-density suburban lifestyle, mm-hmm. which relies on cars and yeah. freeways to get to and from. But that's how California was developed. Hawaii can't do that. It mm-hmm. doesn't have enough land. It has too many bottlenecks in its traffic system that you can't build enough highways to solve.
Right.
So you either say we're going to go with zero growth, which is death economically, mm-hmm. or you say we need a better, more focused transportation system that will change the nature of that development into the future. Mm-hmm. So if you go and say, okay, we're going to create a dedicated 26-mile strip, most of which is already developed as urban development, mm-hmm. and we're going to focus on how do we redevelop that swath of land mm-hmm. to make it more livable, mm-hmm. to make it more attractive, to make the lifestyle of maybe not needing a car reasonable.
Right.
And so I look at it that way, that yes, that becomes part of the solution. Yes, it has environmental aspects. You're running on electricity. Mm-hmm. The counter-argument being, wow, your electricity comes from imported oil. Well, fix that.
Right.
Well, again, the electric motor doesn't care where right. it's getting its juice from.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and snipe or anything. It's just that the discussion when we say sustainability is weaning ourselves off of diesel and the bus companies, and then we insert this project that is run solely as we speak today. If it were to go online today, it would be dependent on oil from imported oil. So just trying to get, and maybe one day we can sit and talk about the yeah. issue of rail.
I'll just leave you with one word that drives environmentalists nuts, but I actually believe it's almost inevitable: incrementalism.
There's
no perfect solution that you can throw a switch and fix everything. Mm-hmm. What you got to do is take reasonable, intelligent steps to make it better one click at a time.
Right.
If you can get your diesel bus off of D2 and onto a 20% mix of renewable biodiesel that's made from algae from Hawaii, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you're creeping toward a solution.
Yeah. My response to that is that when governments say we're going to do this, it's like, well, we haven't looked at the whole thing in its entirety, and it's just not plausible. And the government suggests, well, go to sleep and sleep on it and wake up tomorrow and it'll be there. But meanwhile, but anyway, as I say, I don't want to talk about the rail. In fact, the next hour we're going to be talking about that. You're welcome to hang around, and, you know, but let's talk about Bill 36, sustainability. Now, you and I seem to share the same position on this Bill 36 in that it's costly. It's sustenance for those that are the big companies that want the benefit. So tell the listeners, what is Bill 36, first of all, and what's your concerns with that bill?
Well, I'll give you the short history, a few weeks ago, they passed a Bill 47 that removes a...
the city council did.
And it was signed by the mayor. It's
right.
law now. There right. is no subsidy or tipping fee discount for these automobile recyclers to dump their ASR or
right.
shredder waste, all the stuff that they don't want to deal with
mm-hmm.
and is not sellable as a recyclable material. It's the fluff. It's the upholstery, the foam, the plastic. It's the junk.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, and this is another consideration, it also contains a lot of toxic material.
Right.
There's mercury in switches. There's cadmium. There's lead. There's stuff you don't want to deal with.
And the foam itself is a problem.
Right. Right. And that's why they don't take it at H-Power.
Right.
It's got too much heavy metal and toxins in it.
Right.
Now, there was a discount, a long-running discount, since 1998 that gave these recyclers, automobile recyclers, an 80% discount mm-hmm. on dumping the stuff into the landfill. Okay? And it was ostensibly set up to encourage recyclers at a time when they probably needed to be encouraged. It was a low-margin business. It was a little iffy. And I think it was probably a good decision to go out there and try and incentivize it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is scrap metal is now 500% mm-hmm. more valuable than it was then. And these cats are making a ton of money.
Right.
The largest of the automobile recyclers in Hawaii makes over $1 million a month net. Mm-hmm. They don't need a city-supported subsidy. But the problem is they got used to taking it, tossing it on the bottom line, and it makes their books look good,
right?
It's free money. How much? Last year alone, $1.9 million in tax money just given to a large, profitable mainland corporation, and no one can say why.
Mm-hmm.
You ask them in open hearings, why are you doing this? They don't need it. You've spoken to the general manager of that organization for 20 years, and he said, yeah, we don't need it. We knew we didn't need it. I mean, that's like having the current corporation hooked up to a lie detector. They don't need it. They can't justify it. And when you ask the city councilman, why are you doing it anyway, they don't even look at you.
Yeah.
They just hang their heads.
My guest is Mr. Keith Rollman, and we're sitting talking sustainability and all kinds of issues in Council Bill 36 now. If you have any questions or comments, 524-1080, and you can pick this up at carol@carolcox.com. But more specifically, Keith, where you and I agree with this being getting past the big companies don't need the benefit, or we're just generous. Let's talk more specifically, and you raised this issue early on. I saw that in a testimony before the city council, and I wasn't aware someone brought my attention to that, but I've written the city council saying, why should the citizens of Honolulu County be responsible for paying or receiving, by the way, when cars are processed by companies and are shipped here, they contain the foam, the rubber, the plastics, and what have you. So Kauai County, for example, Big Island County or Hawaii County or Maui County do not have to bother with finding a landfill to bury their scrap waste. They put it on a truck. It's compacted, smashed, put on a truck, still in the cars, brought in by, let's say, Schnitzer, and processed, ground up in the grinder or whatever they call it. And in turn, they take the metal. Now, the county is paying these companies to process these cars, by the way, over there. They get a contract to handle the scrap. So they get paid there, or either it's a smaller company who sells to Schnitzer or what have you, but someone eventually it channels its way into, let's say, Schnitzer or whomever is bringing them to this island. So why should the taxpayer of Honolulu be footing the bill, and we have limited landfill space, and our city council...
We have limited money, too.
Oh, well, I didn't want to... We'll get to that, but here we are allowing the foam, the rubber, the plastics, and we've talked about it on the show, but rehashing again because the mayor has his bill before him, Bill 36, now waiting for signing.
Right. Just for clarification, Bill 47 wiped out the discount.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 days after it was signed into law, they passed 7-2, Bill 36, that puts it back.
Right.
So it's kind of a schizophrenic behavior in the first place, which is kind of suspicious.
Yeah, lobophrenic.
Yeah,
it's the lobbyists got to them, I went back and looked at some of the donations and what have you. There's not a single city council person that should even have considered this bill 36 because the taxpayer again, with all the other complexities and all the other little intricate things that exist in this relationship. There is absolutely no way the taxpayers of the city and county of Honolulu should be burdened or have the responsibility of getting rid of Maui County, Big Island County, or Kauai County's trash.
Well, yeah, there's an overarching question of whether ASR belongs in the landfill at all.
Right.
There's ways to deal with it. There are people that we will take it and recycle it mm-hmm. off-island. It still has a value. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not something we should be paying a discount to dump no. on Oahu.
I've actually spoken with a company that was attempting to purchase the ASRs to use as fuel to burn some mm-hmm. of it. And that didn't fly or didn't go through. But again, why are we giving such discounts? And here is really, if the taxpayer didn't see the importance of this, they had the proposal to ship our trash. We were going to ship it to Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be MSW. But the landfill was going to be closed. There was a great potential possibility that this trash, all trash, to include ASR, would have found its way aboard that barge sometime sooner or later, because if we didn't have a landfill, and the talk is no more landfills, I think Todd Oppo or someone was advancing it.
Ideally, that's a wonderful goal.
Now imagine, and I you can add to this or correct me, imagine if we were to get in that predicament where we have to ship all trash, to include ASR, from Maui, Kauai, Big Island, those counties. It comes here. It's generated when they process the cars here at the big metal recycler. Now he has this ASR. It has to go on a barge. We, the taxpayer, was going to be paying per ton to ship it to Washington State. Why would our city council, you would think they'd be pulling their hair out. They'd all be bald-headed by right now. But instead, 3 days later, they found necessary to go and rewrite a bill that has already been voted on and passed, saying no. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the taxpayers deserve an answer to that mm-hmm. question. And when this thing is heard, I think they should march down to City Hall and ask it.
Yeah.
Incrementalism, again. You know, I know you're a student of the landfill. You've been watching that place for years. And ideally, Oahu wouldn't have a landfill. That mm-hmm. we'd find other ways to recycle all that material. And it has value. I mean, we should have never even conceptualized paying to ship it away.
Right.
If nothing else, it can be converted to energy and used in H-Power.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, when you talk about ASR, ASR still has metals in it. It
yeah.
still has recoverable value. And it's just a matter of there's a missing technology. If you don't have the technology or the economic base to have it,
mm-hmm.
people elsewhere in the world, in Asia particularly, have sophisticated recovery systems
mm-hmm.
where they can make use of the entire car and make money. It has value to them. So it's not a matter of, like, you know, if you were to just ship the ASR, you would have a more of a commodity situation where, at worst case, you'd break even on getting rid of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the old arrangement with the solid municipal waste, you were just getting rid of garbage.
Right.
Where you had placed no value on it. You didn't try to market it to someone who might have found some recovery value.
Mm-hmm.
You were paying X dollars just to put it in somebody else's landfill. So that's just moving the problem, not solving the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see the financial burden that having this lingering, this Bill 36, is just that. It's simply an invitation for more of the same, burdening the taxpayer with unreasonable and senseless costs.
Well, it's been called corporate welfare, and I think mm-hmm. that's probably a valid mm-hmm. description, because the question I asked over and over at the hearings at the council
mm-hmm.
was, what value, what benefit does the taxpayer get out of this arrangement? What do they get for their $1.9 million? What did
right.
they get last year?
Right.
And the answer is, they don't have an answer. They want to talk about something else.
Well, one day I hope, if you're available, because I'd like to explore some of these things that they're just senseless, the way they behave there at the council. This one, I can see where one might think, have an afterthought, or, you know, and think, but they didn't disclose anything. And here's what's painful about this whole process. Stanley Chang. I contacted him, and he said, well, he was advocating for Snitzer still and advocating for things that Snitzer hadn't publicly stated. And he also said that Snitzer hadn't spoken with Snitzer. So then I began to get really concerned, because if he hadn't spoken with Snitzer, how can he advocate for Snitzer? And then I think, well, quite naturally, the only other way is either he's a brilliant man, and that's the second coming or the third coming, or the lobbyist got to him. And I'm hoping he has to file his disclosure statements in the next couple of months. By August, we'll know just how much money the lobbyist gave him, or if any, or how, if the money was channeled. We'll find out. And the other city councilmen, because this simply makes no sense. The city council should never take trash from another island and have the city, the people of this city, Honolulu, bear the burden of the cost of burying it.
Not only that, they're being asked to discount the privilege.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Carol. There's something deeply, deeply suspicious mm-hmm. about Bill 36, because mm-hmm. no one has explained a logical reason for it to be
right.
in existence.
And to go back and do an end run on the situation with that Bill 46, 47, mm. was clear. It
stops.
Did the job. It was done.
Gone.
And no business would go out. Here's something else that troubles me. I saw, and a statement was attributed to Snitzer's folks, and I don't know specifically whom, that it would somehow threaten the, quote, Aloha Aina, if this was the program that they have.
They kind of abandoned that argument, though, because if you read the testimony, it started out that yes, this is money used to support the Aloha Aina program, which is a great program.
Right.
It's a community recycling thing. Now, you know, I'm not an anti-Snitzer Steel guy. I think they do a lot of wonderful things for the community. But to use Aloha Aina as a reason why they should get $1.9 million a year, Jim Bannigan, their old GM, said, yeah, maybe we do spend $140,000 on it tops.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pocketing the difference and saying it's the whole reason.
Right.
Now, they abandon that, though. Their more recent testimony, they say, oh, no, we're going to do a line no matter what. You know, that was a mistake for us to try to use that as a, mm-hmm. you know, extortion request.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's gone. Lohine is not affected by Bill.
Here's what's troubling. Now, this Aloha Aina, you would think then if they're going to threaten, or if that was the intent, hold us hostage, the taxpayers here in this county, it would be simple to say to the people in Maui County, sorry, we're not going to process the cars. You must strip them
mm-hmm.
of the foam and the rubber before we accept them, because we're sending them to Honolulu, and it's just simply not fair. So we don't want to be a part of this process. We're going to contact the city and county of Honolulu, and we're going to engage in a process where the waiver that we have, we're going to reduce, we're going to add your dollar amount per tonnage that of this ASR that's coming from Maui County, and we will deduct that. See, they're being disingenuous about this whole process, and that's why I say it's hands down, it should be killed. This bill should be killed, and those that are supporting it and authored it and introduced it should be given a closer look at their ethics and their – and I not you. I'm saying that. I think there should be a greater scrutiny on people that are willing to be so brazen.
Well, one of the things that came up in the hearings and is an important consideration is, okay, maybe at one time there was a need. Maybe the mm-hmm. you know, at the dawn of the recycling business in Hawaii, they needed that kind of assistance. But they don't need it anymore.
Right.
And so one of the requests was, okay, make the bill contingent on them showing a financial need. Open your books. Show us why you're so precariously, you know, in yeah. trouble financially that you need the taxpayers' money to buoy you up.
Mm-hmm.
And their answer was, no, we don't show our books to anybody. Next question.
Yeah.
And you go, well, you know, that's a little disingenuous too. If you're saying you need the money, But you got to take our word for it.
Right.
Oh, come on.
We'll take your money and with open arms and hands, but if you ask for accountability or justification, then no, we can't do that.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Yeah. I wish they one of them would come on. They have doctors and PhDs working for them, and my show is always available to them. I would love to have one of the top officials, whom I've met some of them, to come in and state their case, because they didn't state it, didn't have to state their case with the city council. Now, I spoke with Tom Berg's office. I sent I first called and said, I want to propose this and ask that you introduce a bill. Now, this is what's puzzling. We know, not to be partisan and not to say that matters should be handled in a partisan way, but Stanley Chang, he came in going to do things different, be fiscally sound and managing and alert and prudent. But then this doesn't seem to match that kind of philosophy. Then Tom Berg, I sent him a letter and asking him to introduce this bill. Now, he voted against 36 or...
Berg voted against 36.
Right.
There
Which
was
is,
two.
Right.
Rian Berg, Haramoto and Tom Berg.
Great. I mean, and I complimented him. But what puzzled me was, you know, I'm thinking, okay, Berg, this is an opportunity. This is a no-brainer. Taxpayers shouldn't be burdened with paying other people's bills, period.
I agree. This is an easy one.
So I sent him the letter, and I said, oh, okay, send us what you got. And I got a letter back saying, hey, I've already done something. I introduced a resolution to address that. And it was as if we were parallel to one another, and our ideas never even intersected. He said in his letter, and I'm just paraphrasing, oh, it's going to – I have a trash czar, an idea of a trash czar, and I'm working to close a landfill. Well, let's get real here. Let's talk about the couple million dollars that we're waiving for a company that don't need it and was never required to show proof.
Yeah, let's solve the easy one right now that's in front of us.
Yeah, let's introduce a bill asking the mayor or embracing the mayor. Call a press conference. Telling and suggesting to the mayor, we support you. If you want to kill this bill, we support you. Veto it, we support it.
Carol, I think you've discovered a great truth that
yeah.
Politicians often say something totally different than what they actually do once they get in office.
Oh God, I advocate for checks and balances. I would love to see Republicans in numbers that we can have checks and balances, because you can't watch them all. And that just in place will be the checks and balances. But when the new kid on the block comes in singing a song of strength and, you know, great integrity, and then turn around and does a flip-flop like a fish out of water, you begin to wonder, is it the politics or is it just people nowadays a different breed?
I think it's just politics.
Yeah.
I think they've been doing it all along. Getting elected is one set of puzzles. Running a state is a whole different set, and there are realities to both of them,
mm-hmm.
and it leads to a lot of inconsistencies in what people say and what they do.
Well, I'm always concerned when someone talks to me and says, yeah, Senator, then when we finally discuss, they're on a different page completely. It's their agenda and not the real agendas that we are faced with, the real issues.
Well, I can't watch them all. I'm counting on you to watch them. You're the guy.
The watchdog.
Keep them honest.
Yeah. The problem with that is that you begin to trust people and you sit back and you. I had great hopes, but if this is right out of the gate with Chang he's not here, but I invited him to come on. But again,
he should be here.
I'm not the other radio stations in their brains or in their minds, but I got a little surprise for them. The listeners out there, they vote too, just like the listeners to the other stations. They vote. So
you bet.
You know, and I'm going to expose it and bring it to the surface to show that these young guys, young guns, we'll call them whippersnappers. And I look back at the donations and the campaign funding. They don't have much to talk about. They're beholden to everybody and anybody.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you're doing a good job. You're an honest man. You're a good communicator, Carol. and the state's better off that there are people like you out there.
Well, I hope so, but, you know, when we can exchange ideas, we don't have to agree on everything.
I know we don't.
Yeah, well, of course, and that's why it's so good.
But we can have an intelligent conversation about why we don't agree, and maybe we can have a different perspective.
Now, see, I always have to have one upsman on my guests. See, what I'm drinking, Kenyan coffee, and I got you the...
Well, it was pretty good. Whatever you got me was really good.
No, it's a pleasure to talk with you and give any opportunity, small the large, if we can benefit from hearing, you know, if we always have to stand outside. You've been on the inside, and I'm hoping that you feel free to and eager to come back and share.
I've mostly been on the outside. I was 30 years in the private sector before I got involved in government, so that was the aberration to my career.
Yeah, and you know, I had mentioned you were going to be on, and oh, we'll ask him this. No, there is certain things putting people on the spot, and we're going to talk sustainability and Bill 36, and I thought it would be beyond me and below me to do such a thing. And,
well, invite me back if you want to go at it on a different subject. I'm happy to talk about anything.
But tell us about Clean and Green Advocacy. Give me a little more details and how do people
– Sure.
How can they get involved with this, or what's the benefit?
Well, Clean Green Advocacy is just an extension of the kind of work that I was doing at the city. It's my passion for sustainable issues. I'm trying to identify sustainable industries that need some help, maybe getting through the permitting process, communicating to their markets. I just want to help those that I identify that I would like to see succeed and become a part of that process. We put out a consumer blog called Green by Design. It's a WordPress site. So
I was going to ask you. I got the card here. www.greenbydesignhawaii.wordpress.com.
Yeah,
that's the site, right?
Yeah, that has a lot of information. It doesn't have an overt political presence. It's more informational, but what we try to do there is communicate in a everyday language what these new technologies and sustainable practices are that deserve your attention. That's all.
Well, again, I'll put a link up to this in the website carolcox.com at www.greenbydesignhawaii.wordpress.com. And if someone want to contact you directly, how do they get in touch with you?
The easiest way is keith.rollman@yahoo.com.
Okay. And you got a phone number here. You want to give that out? Or?
Sure, I don't mind. It's you got it in front of you.
808-358-3414. But anyway, let's talk about Bill 36 later on. And I'm going to, as I say, I did pull up I went through every city councilman's donations and contributions, and I'm going to be, after they file their ones for this period, which is due by August, I should have something. And we're going to see if the lobbyists got money from companies and then pass it out, the gravy train. We're going to check to see which stations the gravy train pulled into.
I wish you luck. It's not always easy to find how that money moves around.
Well, I see that one of them got money from John Ratcliffe, and he's advocating in the early. That's not to say because you take money from a lobbyist, but when you won't come on my radio show to answer basic questions, but you're willing to take a check, maybe I should have put a check in and he would have been here.
Well, the Schnitzer lobbyists and advisors are not doing a lot of public testimony, so they must be doing their talking elsewhere.
Well, yeah. When Stanley Chang calls, and I talk to him, and he tells me that Schnitzer's doing this and that, but he hadn't talked to Schnitzer, I'm sorry. I have to scratch my head and say, how do you advocate for someone whom your client when you've not spoken with your client? So, but anyway, Keith, thank you for joining me, and I appreciate you joining, and soon we'll come back and talk about this or sustainability.
Well,
and rail, maybe you got some insight.
I'd be happy to jump in on that one.
Okay.
But thank you very much for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to talk to your audience.
Anytime. We're going to do it again.
All right.
It was a pleasure. All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, hopefully we got something going on with Keith and these issues. But this Bill 36, you might want to call the mayor and express your concerns or what have you about this bill. And we just shouldn't be giving away money, not in these times, really. We need to rethink this whole process. But again, I want to say to you that for summer schools or the kids that are idle minds lead to trouble and whatever, and if you are looking for a program, as I said earlier in the opening, this program is out there at the Oahu Club on the Hawaii Kai side from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Scuba diving lessons done in the pool, and it's safe. And again, if you want to inquire, make more inquiry, 395-3300. It's for 8 to 12 year olds. And I would say, I don't know the total cost and what would be, but there's memberships, and for non-members, as a rate out there. But give them a call and see what you can do, and you owe it to your kids. Anyway, I'll see you in the next hour. Again, I'm going to have Ms. Pearl Johnson and Mr. Keone Dudley. Ms. Pearl Johnson is League of Women Voters, and we're going to be talking about rail and some of the issues. And so hang in there, and I'll be back shortly.
So long, sad times, go long, bad times. We are rid of you at last. Howdy, gay times, cloudy, gray times. You are now a thing of the past. Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. So let's sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together, shout it now. There's no one can doubt it now. So let's tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles are gone.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.